the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort Casino. Busy three-hour program lined up today. Of course, a lot on the NBA Finals. Full Major League Baseball card with one game ongoing right now. The Mariners just tied it up against the Cubs four-piece. Winds are howling out today at Wrigley. UFC with Lou Finocchiaro. Henry Abbott from True Hoop on the program. Dynamite basketball mind. And Paul Charchian in studio on the Minnesota Vikings and the NFC North in about 90 minutes. Paulie, as I tweeted out right before the show, this is one hell of a power rating on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Embarrassed last night in a game six. And now we have to go back to Oklahoma City for a game seven, one of which, now the number has moved, and I agree with the market, right? How did they open up nine last night after the game for a game seven? They are, again, regular season, maybe an all-time team based on the numbers. I think the way it has proven out now in the 2 months of the playoffs, Paulie, they are not an all-time team. And some of these teams in the NBA are not that far behind them. And Indiana happens to be one of them. And if I hear another person say the Pacers, I just don't believe in them. They're not that good. Then you should probably stop paying attention to basketball. Because, Oklahoma City was bad last night. But a lot of that had to do with how good the Pacers were. And now, you know, if Oklahoma City has a bad shooting night, they could have a total flop on their hands here if they don't win the game on Sunday night.
Yep. Absolutely agree. I don't care about the 84 wins. It certainly was alarming what happened on the road in Memphis, what happened in Denver, what happened against Denver, period. And you're 1-9 ATS on the road. And it should be 0-10. So even with their best player out, it just shows how good Carlisle is and the depth and the creativity where Siakam, Nesmith, Nebhart was great again. And this thing's going seven. And what they're up against is tough. But to be in this position and everyone has counted them out, if they can win this game, it'll be the most improbable title of our lifetime in the NBA. To be 125-1 in January, you beat the 64-win Cavs, the 68-win Thunder, and you took out the Knicks on the road as well. They have 10 wins as a dog in the playoffs. Most in 35 years. They're 7-4 on the road. They can do this.
I firmly believe that they can. And oh, by the way, I guess Tyrese Halliburton's going to be fine for the game on Sunday night. You know what I thought of?
Well, they didn't put a lot of pressure on him, though. I mean, he made the threes.
Yeah, but he was fine. He was all the reports about him. You know, this would be a 2-3 week injury if it was the regular season. And oh my God, you know, last night reminded me, and thank God, you know, football season's now approaching us here. Last night was a refresher course on all these reports that we get. It could be on game day on Sunday, primetime games that we have now up the wazoo in the NFL. I don't know about this guy. He was banged up last week. They're saying that, if it wasn't on short rest, he definitely would not give it a shot tonight, whatever the case might be. And then the running back or the wide receiver comes out that night and he's like, goes off for 97 yards and a touchdown and never looks bad. I'm like, okay, well, hold on. Those reports were clearly inaccurate. That's the first thing I thought of last night watching the guy play. Like, he's not even impacted by the injury at all.
Yeah.
So he'll be 100% or close to it on Sunday night is my guess.
Yeah. And then what McConnell's doing as well, how great he was. With 12-9-6.
Do you think there's a possibility, and I was listening to Adam Schein coming in, I had the same exact thought this morning and I looked around. Is there a possibility that McConnell, if the Pacers win, can win the MVP?
No, it's Siakam.
He has to be the guy?
Yep, it's Siakam. But McConnell's been great.
McConnell's 130-1.
Yep.
I'll give you another guy, too.
Can't do it.
Toppin.
Toppin was great.
Phenomenal.
Almost cashed. Big ticket. SGA led 21 points, Toppin had 20. He's in garbage time. He's shooting, he's scoring. It was sitting right there. You had the blowout. Game was decided in the second quarter. But this is fantastic. Here's what they're up against. A road team has won game seven in the finals only twice in the last 50 years. And twice in the last 50 years, a team has won the finals as a dog of $2 or more. $2 or higher. That's incredible.
That's it, yeah.
That's nuts. That it's only the Raptors with Kawhi in the 03-04 Pistons. So they're up against that too. But many times, I've only say once or twice this postseason, OKC has looked like the team to beat and the team that's lived up to this high power rating with what they did in the regular season. So from a hedging standpoint, if you have those monster Pacer tickets, I would take SGA to win the MVP as low as minus 190.
I don't hate that.
Williams cannot get it. He was minus 40 last night. That's the worst plus minus ever. ever in a finals game. Now, I know he had 8 turnovers, and he was lousy too, but he still had 21 points. So to be like $1.90, $2 in that range to win MVP, that's how you can hedge. That's how you can maneuver. And congrats, you're alive and well if you have these monster Pacer tickets to win the whole shebang.
That is a dollar cheaper or more than Oklahoma City to win the game on the money line, Paulie.
Yeah, can't give it to Williams.
No, I mean, how many players outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander can win the award then for Oklahoma City?
No, it's just him.
That's it. He's right. The only guy.
Right.
It doesn't matter if Lu Dort has 45 on Sunday night or Caruso has 27, 13, and 10. He's not winning the award. It would have to go to SGA at this point.
Yeah. And something weird could happen Sunday, but to me it's got to be Siakam if the Pacers pull this off.
Well, I'm not, Halliburton 17-1.
No.
If he has a huge game with the injury tied in.
What's huge? Yeah, okay.
Triple-double?
Yeah, okay. That'll do it.
Okay. So David Purdom tweeted this out earlier today from ESPN. With Oklahoma City, when it was like 8.5 is the point spread per the database that he has, that's the largest spread in a Game 7 since at least 1991. Well, it has to be more than that because the finals in 1989, 1990, and 1991 did not go to 7 games. So you have to go back to at least 1988. That's when the Lakers defeated the Pistons in a Game 7. And the total now is about 215 or so in this game.
Whoa.
The Game 1 total was as high as 231.5.
That's incredible. That is nuts.
But that's typical for an NBA series, though.
What a dip. What are you looking at for props? I still like Halliburton under 15.5 points. Miles Turner has been awful.
Terrible.
Play him under, and now it's getting out of control with the juice. But again, winner again last night with this. Chet has made 2 threes combined in the last 5 games. Yeah. Now the under's minus 220.
Or they actually, you know what you could do? You could bet under a half at plus money.
Yeah.
Which could be worth a look as well. I mean, in this game, I think Oklahoma City, there's a chance here where they're going to be exceedingly tight, and this game could go under again. I'm not going to be making the case to bet a lot of overs. I would only look at unders.
Good point. All the pressure's on the Thunder. Yep.
Yep.
A good point. I'm with you. And I also agree.
Now, how about this, Paulie? One more thing on that. So the total is down more than 14 points for the game, but SGA's points prop remains the same.
Yeah, that's odd.
What?
Yeah. Can you believe how bad they were? 21 turnovers? 1 of 10 from 3 in the first half? Sloppy Joe?
That is
not game over in the second quarter?
I know. I don't want to just rip on him, but Paul, that does not happen to an all-time team, and I don't think I've ever been this guy once in my life. What happened last night, I can say this because I can prove it. It never happened to Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Right, and
he never even went 7.
That's the thing, right? He never even went to a 7th game.
Yeah,
and this never happened to like the Golden State teams with KD and Steph Curry. They were too good. They wiped out LeBron and the Cavaliers in like a sweep or 5 games.
Yep.
So the regular season can speak for itself, but from the beginning in October to right now, this is not an all-time team. I don't care what anybody says. And Rex Byers, who's been a bookmaker for a long, long time, reached out and said, "You can use this as you want." He goes, "I've been telling people the entire time that the market is way wrong on this, that forget about Oklahoma City for a second. People are not nearly high enough on Indiana." And boy, he's been spot on with that.
Yep. People have been counting them out the whole way through.
Yeah.
And thought the Cavs would run over them, no problem. And if the Knicks were getting it. But I said earlier, 10 wins as a dog, most in 35 years. The other thing, a team has never won the title. If they lost by 40 or more in a playoff game, that happened to the Thunder. I also agree with your tweet. Even if they win Sunday, I would make a move if I'm Preston.
You have to.
And you can keep coming back, young, inexperienced, whatever. It shows in these games that some of this stuff, not being able to knock down shots, no outside threat, silly turnovers. They could use some more pieces.
They just need, you're right. They need different pieces. And what they could, and Wiggins is a nice player, and maybe he'll turn into a guy that you can rely on to be like the 7th guy. Or give you 15 minutes a game, and you know that when he's open, he's going to hit his shot like 45% of the time, whatever it is. But you need to go out and get a proven guy, I think, who can shoot from downtown. You have defenders coming out of the woodwork here with Oklahoma City. You could actually get a negative defender who is just like borderline elite off the bench and is like a microwave, and he can fill it up from everywhere. That's kind of what they need, I think, moving forward. Because the West is only, like, it's not going to go anywhere. These teams, again, I mean, what else do you have to see? Denver's not far behind. How many other teams are actually close to Oklahoma City is what I'm wondering now, that they did not have to play and go through in the playoffs. As a reminder, the Thunder, they have lost 2 games in a row only twice this season. Good tweet from Matt Moore, who's been on this network a lot in the playoffs. Once in April, as he tweeted out, when they had wrapped up the one seed and were mostly coasting and resting, the other game was on November 19th. That's the list. So I think they will win, but enough for me to get involved with like betting them on the money line or a money line parlay or laying 7.5 points. No, thank you. How about you?
How many props are going to be decided here, too? How close is? I mentioned our buddy TMI Ozzy, who has Caruso plus 550, most steals. What the hell was McConnell? Can you imagine what that was?
Had to be gargantuan, right?
Most blocks, most steals, and most threes are going to come down to Sunday. And those are some big tickets.
Yeah, we can expand on that coming up here. And I will give you this about Toppin, how good he's been. This is from StatMuse. Bench players with 70-plus points, 30-plus rebounds, and at least 12 threes in the finals, in one finals, Robert Horry and Obi Toppin. End of list.
Come on.
How about that?
God, 11-1 last night, most threes. Cash it.
Wow.
It's just sitting there,
most
points. Well,
we thought, right? I mean, some of these crazy numbers were going to come in.
Mathurin made us look silly. He didn't do anything, but these other guys were great. Yep. Can't wait. Game 7. Going to be good. Can't believe what OKC has done here.
I know.
The no-show like that in Game 6.
Multiple times now in the playoffs for them, too.
Great job by the Pacers.
All right, so we'll expand. We'll run down those numbers coming up because they are very tight. Like Paulie was saying, most threes, most steals, etc. And we'll dive into Major League Baseball as well. Runs could be coming at you fast and furious tonight. Warmer weather and a handful of ballparks. We'll give you the details next. You can always get in touch with the show on X at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. This is from Andrew, who tweeted us during the break. He bet the Pacers 1 week before the playoffs and got 150-1. That number was out there?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, someone fell asleep too. About 125-1 in January. 19-1 to win the East in the first round of the playoffs.
That's right. You know, I was listening to Matt Youmans and Will Hill on the way home last night, and Will Hill brought up the idea. He just thought that the number was way too high. He said, what about grabbing 12-1 on them to win it all? They were 12-1 at some books to win it all before the game last night. So if you bet that, you can come back and lay $3 with Oklahoma City, and you're good to go.
That's true, right? The adjusted series price was out there as well. Absolutely. Chris Andrews got to as low as 7 today at the South Point.
7.
Before there was buyback.
All right. Most points in the series, well, it's SGA. He has 183. J-Dub has 145. I was doing some loose math last night. I believe SGA has to get to like 52 to beat me for averaging more than 33.5 in the series, which could happen. Most rebounds, Chet 55, Siakam 50. I bet Siakam was a pretty healthy number.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Chet's 2,500. That's too high.
Oh, that's a big number.
You get 11-1 on Siakam.
Oh, he could turn his ankle.
Damn right.
Whatever. Most assists, well, that's over. Halliburton has 41. McConnell and SGA, they have 27. Most threes is a good one. Mm-hmm. Neesmith has 16. Dort, 15. Toppin and Halliburton, 13. What was Obi Toppin most threes for the series?
That's a big one.
That had to be triple digits, yeah?
Yeah.
You brought this up during the break. McConnell and Caruso each have 14 steals. The number on TJ had to be gigantic.
Yeah.
And then I actually was stunned to see the leaders for most blocks. I only wrote down the top three because Chet's not in the top three.
That's surprising.
Was he odds on before?
Had to be. SGA?
Yeah. SGA might win that. He's one back of Turner.
If I'm Carlisle, I limit his minutes. I want Toppin out there as much as possible.
So do I.
Turner's been a disaster. At DraftKings, Halliburton, this is made threes. 2.5. Dort's 1.5 over minus 180. Neesmith, 175. Toppin, 1.5 under minus 130. And Dort, you just don't know what you're going to get. I mean, that one game four, he hit a three right away, and it only took two shots the entire game and one shot the rest of the way. He also had a game with five earlier, so that thing's up for grabs.
Well, we have a developing situation right now at Wrigley. Winds were blowing out today. They have been the entire game.
Big thumper? Big dumper.
Big Dumper with the deuce today.
Another one. Big Dumper.
I hate to say that on the air.
It was well.
My buddy in Seattle and I have been saying that every time he hits two home runs in a game. Anyway.
11 of them on the first pitch, which he did in the first inning. He took Boyd deep.
He's got 29 on the year.
Watch out.
And I can tell you this right now. I personally know some bettors, and I don't think it's going to get there because of Aaron Judge, but they have huge numbers on this guy to win the American League MVP, but here's one that can come in, and I know people who have this as well. He was higher than 200-1 before the season started, most home runs in Major League Baseball.
Well, sure, yeah. Of course.
It's happening every day the way it seems with him.
They've lost 15-23. Be nice to get a road win here. Kirby didn't have much.
Kirby,
they smacked Boyd around. Sammy Sosa back at Wrigley for the first time since 2004.
What'd you think of that?
Yep, they kissed and made up. I know that was at the Cubs convention, which they showed before the game, and he was in the booth in the fourth inning. So he said all the right things, but I made some mistakes. So 21 years he was gone back at Wrigley today.
God, man, time flies, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You can legally drink today in how long he's been away. I can't even wrap my head around that.
You believe that? Think about that.
Wow.
2004.
Oh. And that game is now, the total was 10, so it's sitting on 10 right now. But man, oh man, that guy's having, he's got the second highest WAR in all of baseball. Like, he's ahead of my guy, PCA. He's ahead of Otani.
Mm-hmm.
Judge is the only guy who has a higher WAR right now.
What do you got today? What do you got? What are you looking at?
I got a lot. Well, how about you? You hot and heavy?
Yeah. A couple things I like. I'm going to make the case for the Nats later. I hate the spot for the Dodgers. I don't trust Kershaw. I don't like the spot for the Pirates either. Doubleheader with a rain delay and travel. Got in this morning, and they're facing DeGrom.
DeGrom's the guy.
Good luck. Two earned runs or fewer, 11 in a row. Pirates can't hit. Burrows, who started off, he was a disaster, has been okay the last couple starts. But I know Texas can't hit, but I don't know what you're going to get. Pittsburgh can't hit, and now they got in this morning. So,
well, a couple things here.
Plus, their bullpen sucks again. I mean, what they couldn't get Skeens to win, could they?
No, of course not.
4-0.
That doesn't matter.
They were 8-1 in play. Detroit tied it up at 4 and then lost in extras.
He also had, what, the worst game that he's pitched the entire year, I think? He allowed four earned?
No, two. I thought it was two.
Did they go back and correct it? Because I saw the box score live when I was watching the game last night that he had four, but maybe they corrected that.
Oh.
But so the total 7 in this game tonight. Can you trust Burrows enough for maybe a first 3 under? With DeGrom on the mound, because, again, the Pirates, they're averaging 3.2 runs per game last in baseball. The Rangers are at 3.6. That's 26th overall in the league. Or maybe if you want to do, I'm like you. Like, you have to go to war somehow with DeGrom. Maybe lay a half a run in the first 5?
Yep.
Against the Pirates
here? I
like
that, too. Yep.
Mets are playing at the Phillies tonight.
Love the Phillies. Run line plus money.
Totally agree.
Wheeler? Yep. Mets are in a free fall. They've lost 6 in a row. Phillies think are going to do enough offensively here against Tidwell. Lindor 0-15 and 5 for his last 38.
Some numbers here on Wheeler in his career against his former team. They're okay. They're not great, but 16 starts, a 3.53 ERA and 9 Ks per 9. Wheeler at home at night since he joined the Phillies in 2020. 47 starts, 2.72 ERA, 9.5 Ks per 9, sub 1 whip. And a 27% K rate. I can go to war with him tonight. Soto does have good numbers against him in his career, including 3 home runs. Nimmo has hit him well. And Alonso, not a home run, no home runs, 40 at-bats, 12 strikeouts, 2 doubles for Pete Alonso against Zach Wheeler. But I'm with you. I'm looking at the run line for sure.
Should Joe Ryan be $1.60 against Mizorowski? Come on.
Ryan has good numbers. 2.93 ERA, 10 Ks per 9. But when you look at Mizorowski again, 5 Ks in his last start, they couldn't touch him. A 2.13 ERA and 11-plus Ks per 9 at AAA Nashville. I will say this about the top of that lineup for the Twins. Buxton is on an absolute heater, 4 home runs, a double and a stolen base the last 7 days. But that is a juicy plus price to be looking at with Milwaukee.
Yep, 14 pitches were 100 miles an hour for the rookie. Twins' 4th worst record since May 18th. I think it's too high. Houston, number 1 OPS against lefties. They go against Kikuchi. Browns $1.60 on the road. Pavetta goes for the Padres, 5-0 with a 2.42 at home in 7 starts. And I'm going to make the case for the Nats in Gore, plus 170. Hold your nose. They took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers at home earlier in the season. Letdown spot. They just played 10 straight games against the Padres and the Giants. You had the theatrics last night. 23 games in 24 days. Gore, 1.45 ERA in his last five starts, shut them down. Well, held them in check. Two earned runs in six innings.
That's good.
The first time around. I like the Nats, and I think they'll get enough against Kershaw here. Kershaw shouldn't be 205.
Yeah, no, that's a big number. Kershaw has been better as of late. His numbers on the year, respectable, 3.25 with the ERA. However, clearly not the same guy. The Ks per nine below seven on the season. He's also walking 3.25 batters per nine. My one concern would be that the Nats overall against lefties, they don't have great numbers, and the Dodgers are pretty good against lefties. Last 7 days for Andy Pajes, 8-for-23, 3 home runs and 2 doubles. Yep. Meanwhile, for the Nationals, Wood and Abrams have both been really, really good here lately.
All right, and then the reunion. Well, not, if you want to call it that. It's going to be awkward tonight. Devers against the Red Sox.
I like the Giants.
Yeah?
Greg Peterson made a case for him on VSiN.com. I'll give you some of the numbers here. Birdsong has pitched 48 innings so far, and he's only made 5 starts. It's mostly been out of the pen. But he's got a 2.79 ERA, 9.5 Ks per 9. The Giants, if you don't know this already, they have the best bullpen ERA in Major League Baseball. They came in yesterday in a close game, shut him down, and got Webb that win. Dobbins on the mean on the flip side, 4.74 with the ERA and 1.4 home runs per 9. So I think the Giants are worth a look in this game.
All right. Want to make smarter football bets this season? Start with VSiN Pro. Grab our football special at the early bird rate of just 175. Full access through the Super Bowl. What are you doing? Get it now. Bill 80 with the best bets. He missed game 6. In the morning email today. Every best bet, every host, every guest. The deep analytics and betting tools. Our guide comes out early July. VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock it in. Early bird special, just 175. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get up there.
Most home runs by a catcher ever before the All-Star break. Johnny Bench had the record with 28.
Get out. It's not Piazza?
Cal Raleigh broke it now, 29, before the break.
One of the highlights of my career. We are the only people ever to interview Piazza and Clemens at the same time. Right here. They're the only two guys. And we were talking to Piazza, hit the home run after 9-11, likes hair bands. And then Roger Clemens, you said it. Well, here comes Roger Clemens. And Piazza thought
he thought was joking.
And then Clemens sits down. What happens when Piazza looks at him?
Oh, he turned into a ghost.
Yeah.
Came out of his book. See you, boys. Adios.
He took karate lessons because if he ever ran into him, he said in his book. And there he was, and he up and ran.
Best bets in the UFC, Lou Finocchiaro next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Good to have you aboard here on a Friday. A lot to get into with our next guest. We head out here to the Progressive Guest Line. Lou Finocchiaro joins the program. Now we'll get to best bets in the UFC coming up in a minute. But Lou is one of Omaha's finest, born and raised there. He has been to the College World Series several times, a spot that we were at last week broadcasting. Legendary Rocco's, home of the world-famous Jello Shot Challenge. Is this one of your favorite sporting events of the entire year?
Guys, thanks so much for having me on. Absolutely. Being from Omaha, we all grew up there. It was Rosenblatt for me, but now it's this new park for many young Omahans. It's a great tradition. ESPN highlights Omaha so well, I couldn't be prouder of the city that I'm from.
Do you think Coastal Carolina is live? Are they worth a bet to win the College World Series? And what else are you looking at for the game starting on Saturday?
I really think Coastal, if you look at both teams' reaction to their wins to get to the finals, LSU had to beat a really tough, formidable Arkansas team, and it took them a lot of mental energy, and they celebrated, which they should have. Coastal Carolina didn't celebrate when they beat Louisville. What they did was they walked out on the field and congratulated each other like they planned on being there, and that's because they are a pedigreed ball club. They got pitching, fielding, hitting. They have it all. I expect them to win against LSU, the series.
Low scoring?
Yes, let's bring that up. The new ballpark in Omaha sits in a hole by the river, and the south wind blows in. Tomorrow, 25 mile an hour coming right from right field to third base. If you're going to pull one down the left field line, you got a shot. Otherwise, with this pitching, these lineups, an 8.5 is warranted. With this wind, it will go lower. 8.5 still available right now.
Incredible. All right. Good luck to everyone and great knowledge Uncle Lou, and thanks for the recommendation on the Drover Steakhouse as well. Let's go to the main event, UFC Fight Night, Hill against Roundtree. Any thoughts on the fight? But you like the with the Brown prop. Take it away, sir.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this. I like Hill with his length and his height in distance in a stand-up fight. That said, Roundtree going to come at him and is a formidable challenge. But the one thing I think that I feel very good about is the over in this fight. If you don't want to go all 3.5, there are props, at least in the states that offer all the fancy books like DraftKings and FanDuel's, you can get that fight to start round 4 at minus 130, minus 135. I think Hill will manage distance, and this is going to be a longer fight than is lined.
All right. How about Bahamondes against Fiziev? How do you see this one? And I think you also like, you made the case for the over on VSiN.com, but you also like a side here. Take it away.
Yeah, this is our co-main event. This should be really an awesome fight. Now, this fight opened Fiziev minus 200, and the money poured in on Bahamondes, who's taller, longer, younger, but he's not been in with the kind of competitor that Fiziev has been in with, and he's lost his last three, has Mr. Fiziev. Oh, by the way, a local fighter, a Kazakhstani, which is in the region of Azerbaijan, or, you know, forget my linguistics. Kazakhstan is the king of wrestling. Fiziev comes with a wrestling base, doesn't use it. He's the striking coach at Tiger Muay Thai in Phuket. He's short, stocky, powerful. Bahamondes kind of long and tall. This should be a great clash of striking styles. I believe Fiziev will continue to keep this fight standing because of his short stature and stockiness. And as long as it stays standing, I think Fiziev can chop Bahamondes down. I'm going to take the advantage of all that line movement that the markets presented me, and I'm going to go with Fiziev.
Okay, very good. Now, for those who do not want to get caught with their pants down tomorrow, this card starts at 12 o'clock Eastern time, so noon and 9 a.m. out here on the West Coast. And you have brought this up with previous cards, depending on the location, with Fiziev being a local there. First of all, is there anybody else on the card that we should know about that has local ties? Should we be concerned maybe a little bit about how the judges might score it if it actually goes to the cards?
Yes, and yes, absolutely, Mitch. I mean, we have fighters from Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, and then two, again, I'll try and pronounce it, Azerbaijan. And there are two fighters that are from there. One is Musayev, a fighter I do like that's an underdog. The other one is a fighter that fights out of the Longo Gym in New Jersey, but he's from there. He's from Baku, actually, and that's Nazim Sadikov. Sadikov's a huge favorite, probably should be, but he's out of whack. His line's too high for the difference in talent between the two. Moda's no slouch. However, this Musayev that fights Orabai, this Orabai is also a regional fighter, more wrestling, and this Musayev is a cross between the Tasmanian Devil and Jaws, I guess I should say.
Okay.
Musayev is a absolute aggressive madman. He's wild. He doesn't have much defense, but this will be a fight you really don't want to miss. And I think Musayev fighting in front of his people has a great chance to win the fight here. If you have a little doubt, you can take him plus the 3.5 points at a small price and insulate yourself against potential judging. I happen to think that if there's hanky-panky in the judging in this fight, it'll go Musayev's way.
All right. Yeah. That is great analysis right there. By the way, if that's his style, inside the distance somehow, to get creative there as well?
I don't want to discount Orabai that much. He's coming off a loss, and he is a pedigreed good fighter, tough and durable. In a 3-round fight, I'm just going to think that let's try and get Musayev to get him and walk with that decision. It's a 2.5-round fight lined over pretty good. So it's actually 1.5 lined over 210, 240. So I think there could be a finish. but I'm not going to go that way. I'm just taking Musaev to try and win that fight, get his hand raised any way possible.
All right, we're going to get creative here. Uncle Lou doesn't lay the wood. Ulanbekov, who is minus 380. How about sub plus 260?
Ulanbekov faces a young man in Maxim who is a short-notice stand-in. Ulanbekov was scheduled to fight Horiguchi, a really, really strong fighter that was going to test him. This is not the same test. However, it is another regional fighter, but short notice, and a fighter that really wants to stand and bang. Ulanbekov is one of these Dagestani vice grips. The last thing he's going to do is let a guy punch him once or twice. Maxim may get one punch off before Ulanbekov wraps him up like an octopus, takes him down, and makes this a wrestling match. Ulanbekov, I like a good deal in this fight. I think you can use him as your base for parlays into other fighters.
Blades 270. He can win inside the finish inside the distance. How you want to play it?
I want to play Blades inside the distance, okay, which gives me a plus 120 or plus 125. He's facing a big, strong, debuting Russian, okay? And the Russian has power. Blades has one Achilles heel in the fight business, and it's a bad one to have. He has a porcelain chin, and if you sneeze on him, he's going to go out. So Kuneyev, the opponent and the debuting Russian fighter, if he can catch Blades, he can put him out. However, the longer this goes, the more Blades will be all over Kuneyev, take him down. Blades is also PO'd that he has to fight a debuting fighter. He's getting totally disrespected here for the caliber of fighter that he really is. He's an elite top five heavyweight, and the UFC doesn't want to give him that recognition because he's a wrestler. He's going to mop the floor with this Russian.
Great analysis.
Oh, very good.
Excellent. Thank you, my friend. Good to talk to you. Thanks for popping on.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Sure appreciate the time, and great show. I can't wait to watch the rest.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend. Best of luck. Follow him on X at Gamlu.
Tough names. Yeah, great
no
job.
No kidding.
I would not want to run into the Tasmanian devil with the Jaws.
No. That would be tough. I don't want to see him in the alley at all.
Yeah. 50-year anniversary.
Today of Jaws, yeah.
How about it?
Yeah. I'd like to go back and watch that at some point. I bet it holds up. Something tells me that movie is still good to this day. I read a long thread about it today, how it was made. It took way longer than they anticipated. It cost way... The people were panicking back then. The water obviously gave them a huge problem. They thought they were completely up against it, and it turned out to be the biggest blockbuster, the highest money-making movie of all time for like several... I think it was like however long it was, you know, until Star Wars probably overtook it.
Sounds like a little bit like Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was just a disaster getting that thing made.
Mm-hmm. And the people that they wanted to cast for it, and then they didn't cast, and who they thought might be a little bit too big for it, other guys, it was
interesting.
Yeah, but the guy who played the lead there is, I think he killed that role. I think he was awesome.
Yes. Get out of the water? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray something?
Ray, Shire?
Yeah. You're
something
close.
Like that.
You got it.
I'm going to need a bigger boat. Win lose up next. An 80-1 shot was right there for the taking last night. Paulie with the details next.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
McConnell, 10 points, 4 rebounds, 2-1. First basket, Hartenstein, 8-1. Most rebounds, Siakam, 5-1. Most three-pointers, Toppin, 11-1. What happened in the WNBA? Mercury plus 550, Golden State plus 550. Both 11-point favorites lost outright. Incredible.
Wow. You want to talk about a two-team parlay there.
Yeah, throw the Pacers in there. What did that do? I'm going to look and see what that paid. $100 three-teamer. Most runs, Twins, 17-1. Highest scoring game, Twins-Reds, 12-1. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on, like one this listener sent in. The dog is so good with the bat that he tries to deke him out. He's got the bat in his mouth. Slope, here comes the wiffle ball. Nope. Fake underhand. Nope. Nope. No, here it comes. Bam!
Ooh.
Get that right back at him. Dog can hit it every time.
The Texas Tornado.
That's right. How good is that?
That's a full spin with the at-bat.
He's got the wiffle ball in his mouth, and he can hit it every time. He doesn't fall for any of the...
He's really putting his paw in the bucket here.
That's great.
Not supposed to do that in the batter's box.
Yep. All right. I want to see if you can figure out where this is going. Yeah, I'm going to go in the woods here. Put this on the ground.
I'm going to say nothing's going to happen.
Right. Now, here comes a bear. Right. Here comes a big bear. Hey, buddy. How you doing? You could take me apart in 2 seconds. What are you up to? Eh, you want to see? What do you think he's going to do?
Is he walking right into a booby trap here?
You got that? You think that's a booby trap? A little bit like Predator, right? Okay. The bear's walking around, sniffing.
That is a big fella.
Right. He's still looking. What is this? What did he drop on the ground? Oh, yeah. You know where it's going.
He's
going to... The bear's going to do the hula hoop.
Don't tell me he's going to hula hoop.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, now...
Can you believe it?
Stop.
You've seen it all. Yep. The Lord can take you. Look at this. Puts it in his mouth, knows what to do with it, over the head. Get it! And then the hula hoop. The guy comes in, sets it on the ground, and the bear, who just emerges from the forest, knows what time it is. So smart. I can't believe it.
Hold on. Does he...
Give it time. Give it time.
He actually...
Come on, buddy. Come on. There you go. We're on the neck. He's got it. Yeah. You're not buying it? No, it's real.
So I'm so skeptical nowadays.
Yeah. So he gets the treat afterwards. He did the hula hoop.
That everything is based... It's AI now. I was on a thread last night, in fact, about somebody who said how much these influencers are making, creating content that's simply AI. And some of these videos that are clearly fake, this one here you could buy, actually. And I think this is maybe real, but people are killing it. And they're getting like 100 million views on stuff that is the most preposterous videos you're ever going to see.
No,
it's fascinating to look at, though. This is not one of them.
Right, yeah.
But it's...
You're saying it's so fake.
It's wild what is becoming popular now with AI, yeah.
All right. Let's go down the street. Royale with cheese. 202.
Oh.
Look at this. 21,000. It's only quarters, but it's triple play, and it has to be dealt. Royale with cheese dealt. Quarters, 21,000. Up at the top. Oh, what a feeling. Dancing on the ceiling. That's great.
That's good.
The run continues. This is at Reno. Atlantis in Reno. The Pigou Progressive again, no joker. 7-card straight flush. It's like the fourth or fifth time in a couple weeks we've had this in the state.
Is that from Tim?
I don't know. I can't remember who sent it in.
Okay. Well, Tim's been dancing around Reno for a long time here recently.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Lose some OKC, 1-9 ATS on the road in the playoffs. Halliburton points under, 14.5 down to 12.5. And the bad beat, Toppin, was 80-1. Most points in the game. SGA at 21. The guy's in there, in the blowout, taking shots. He couldn't get it.
He finished with 20, right?
I know. Then he pulled them late. He just missed it. Just to get one more, like an and one something. Then you get at least the dead heat. Oh, on top of the most threes, 11-1. Before the line moves, the sharp plays at sharpplays.com already there. They don't chase the market. They move it. You're not going to out-muscle billion-dollar books or full-time pro bettors on your own. With the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI, trusted insider sources, Jeff and the sharp plays deliver the edge that serious bettors rely on. Free betting reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights delivered right to you via email or X. They've been around since 2011. They go back to our first day doing mornings. Mr. Poison, who had 16,000 on the Arkansas under. Receipts, logs, results right there on the site. Sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out now, sharpplays.com. Anthony Irwin was awesome yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Go back and listen to the podcast about the Lakers being sold, and he does Lakers Lounge and was phenomenal. This is ESPN.com. The Lakers can finally be run like a real business. Other execs and owners are now afraid. It was a mom-and-pop shop in sports with a lot of constraints. Now, just look at the guy across from them. Across town was one quote. Ballmer bought the Clippers for $2 billion in 2014, spent an additional $2 billion on the Intuit Dome. As the article points out, most of these owners now, this is just part of their portfolio. This was the only thing that the Lakers and the Buss family had. But the reason they were able to continue to do this, they had a staggering local TV rights deal with Spectrum. And Follow the Money, we love to be on we were on there in the mornings on Spectrum. $3 billion over 20 years, which began in 2012. But to how they were run, some of the stories. An assistant coach was not approved to stay at the same hotel as the player he was traveling to work out with in the offseason because the room was too expensive. Former assistant GM Ronnie Lester's contract was not renewed during the lockout. The team applied for federal relief through the Small Business Administration's PPA program. During the COVID hiatus, after considerable backlash, they returned the $4.6 million. They were the only NBA team without a representative at the Sloan Analytics Conference. They don't have an analytics department. And then we mentioned with no analytics, the lack of scouting, player development, and all that. This is why this is going to be scary. They're going to run the Lakers like they run the Dodgers, and it's going to start with what the Buss family was up against and how they're just going to immediately work on that and what the frustration J.J. Redick has said many times as well. That's where they're going to attack it. Remember, the Dodgers' first big hire was Friedman.
That's right.
And how to build everything.
Isn't that wild? You have a team that just sold for $10 billion. Again, put them against any other team in North American sports and basically the world. Yankees, Cowboys, some soccer clubs in there as well, whatever. And they were run like that for decades.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
How they paid assistants, and then what happened with Ty Lue. They thought they were going to lock Ty Lue up, and he was stunned at the offer and said no, and it didn't work out, and he went to the Clippers. That was another one about how they paid coaches as well. My favorite story is, this is before Genie was able to wrestle control. Jim Buss and Kupchak hired and then fired Byron Scott both times when Genie was at the movies.
I remember that.
How good is that?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So I agree with this article and what people around the league are saying, that watch out. They can finally be run like a business, and stunning sale. It works out to like $500 million per kid.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. And, well, I think four of them are in their 60s, too, which probably the right time to do it.
Okay, you mentioned this during win-lose with some of those big upsets in the WNBA last night. Yeah. I'm on VSiN.com right now. I'm on the parlay calculator. You can go there, file that away to check this stuff out on your own as well. Always a good tool to use. Did you say that both teams were plus 550 last night?
Yeah.
As high? Okay. If you throw that, just those two, a $100 bet paid $4,100. A little bit more than that. If you threw the Pacers on there at plus 150, a $100 bet paid more than almost $10,500.
Gosh.
Yeah. But, I mean, who saw that coming with the Fever, right?
I know.
Golden State's actually been a pretty decent story.
Oh, sure.
You know, because people thought they were going to be a complete dumpster fire. But for Caitlin Clark to play like that and for the Fever to get, you know, basically blown out, what they lost by 11 points at Golden State when they were huge favorites like that, yeah, that was a tough one to see coming for sure. Something else you mentioned, too, with the Padres and the Dodgers game last night, better be careful here when they play again.
Oh, I know.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
I know, absolutely.
And it's probably going to be a superstar.
Yep.
The Tatis injury last night did not look good. Or the hit by pitch.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming in high and hard there with that right at his wrists. Come on. That's extremely dangerous. And
all valid points.
The Dodgers now, by the way, as you brought up, they finally cleared this stretch where they were playing like teams all above 500 or really good baseball teams. And now it gets a lot easier for them over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Nats, the four straight easy series. So for all these issues and all these injuries, they're 46-30.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
Damn good.
Yeah.
We'll talk NBA Finals and the offseason with Henry Abbott, who does a great job with True Hoop up next. Where is he projecting some of the big names to land for next season?